Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Power of Forgiveness podcast. My name is Dwayne Staten, and I want to thank you for tuning in for another episode. This podcast is meant to help those toward the path of forgiveness, for the ones who have been hurt, heartbroken, forever changed by something that was said or done to them, which changed their mindset, the course of their relationships, their future, and even their life in general. With this podcast, I speak about the lessons I've learned from forgiveness, and I give it to you, the audience. Today, I interview my good friend, Melissa Forsythe, who I've known since elementary school, and she comes today with a story about how she not only had to forgive herself, but to forgive the people who trafficked her. When I tell you my jaw was on the floor with this story, it was on the floor the whole time. And now, without further ado, here's the episode. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Power of Forgiveness podcast. My name is Dwayne Staten, and I have a very good friend and very special guest, Melissa Forsythe. Say hello.
Hey.
So funny story. I've known Melissa since elementary school, like fourth grade. So yeah.
Good old PG County school system.
I know, right? And, you know, to see her growth from, you know, when we were kids to now, like, I'd say I'm really proud of you. I really am, to see the growth. I really am.
Yeah.
I mean, for real. I followed your journey on Facebook, and I seen, you know, the ups and downs and everything, to see where you are now. Like, really, I'm proud of you. I really am.
Thank you.
So I want to ask this question to you. Would you travel back in time? Would you rather meet your ancestors, or would you rather go to the future to meet your descendants?
Oh, that's hard. Because, like, I have some history buffs in my family, so they know, like, the family trail of, like, fresh off the boat and, like, coming to America and, like,
oh, wow,
journey that they did. So, part of me is like, I want to meet the OGs.
Right. Right.
Came here, but honestly, I'd probably want to go to the future, like, after having a kid and, like, knowing he's going to grow up now, and, like, to see what the future holds for them, because I already know what the past had for my family. And it would be cool to, like, ask questions and get to know them, but the kids are our future. So, like, to see them grow, I think would be way rather. To the future. I'm going.
No, I agree with that. I agree with that wholeheartedly. For me, I would go to the future, meet my descendants. I really would, because from what, honestly, I love the stories that my family tells now about, you know, for example, my grandmother who passed away. The stories about how my mom is like her. I lived through those stories.
Yes.
I would want to go to the future to really, I would go to the future so I can see on the impact that I made. If I made an impact on my family, I would want to see how that would go. And I would love to see, you know, my son grow up, see him have kids, Lord willing, grandkids and XYZ. So I'm in that round. So I'm with you. Yeah. I mean, because it's like, I'm gonna be honest with you. I love the people who came before me, like my grandmother, my great grandmother, those that I haven't met. I'd love and appreciate them. You know what I mean? Because without them, I wouldn't be here.
Right.
So now I just want to see, you know, I just want to see the impact made for the future.
Right. Well, it's kind of like their struggle had an impact on my upbringing and who I am. Yeah. So, like, if my struggle impacted my son and helped grow him, like, I would hope he would take those lessons and teach them on, because it's each one teach one.
Yes.
So yes. I would like to see how the lessons of life carried on even to, like, his kids, and, like, what did they take from our past?
Yeah.
Bring it.
Yeah, I like that. Sidebar. Isn't it funny we're both parents now?
Never would have thought.
Yo, that's what tripped me out. I was like,
I'm talking about my son. She's talking about hers. I'm just like, wow, we're actually parents now. Like, we adults now.
Right. Full grown. Like, I remember playing on the playground, like, monkey bars, trying to monkey fight. And, like, now we have kids.
I know. We were the kids, and now we are kids. Like, dude. Oh, my gosh.
Sometimes I still feel like I'm just a grown kid.
You and me both. You're not alone. You definitely not alone on that front. So I remember talking to you and asking you to come on the podcast to talk about your story on forgiveness. So please, the floor is yours. Please tell us your story.
Oh, man. So, like, when we were having that conversation, my mind went wild. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it was like all the circuits in my brain started firing, like, oh, I could talk about this or that, or like this situation. And even today, I was like, what direction? Because forgiveness is so broad, you know, like, you can go in so many different directions. And like,
yeah,
a disclaimer, because like, I know, you know, since we're on social media together and we grew up, my story has recovery in it. Like, I'm in recovery from active addiction. And I'd been an addict for a long time. I mean, I remember when we were in elementary school, like, I was stealing prescription meds from my stepfather and going to school with them. And like, my justification when I was younger was, he puts me down and talks rudely to me, so I'm gonna take this substance and it's his fault, but at least I don't feel shameful.
Yeah. And
the forgiveness that I've had in the process with him, and like, he's like my father.
Yeah.
And he did the best he could, just like my mom. And like, I was like, should I talk about that? Because he has a huge impact in my life. Or like my dad, like my biological father, man, like, he was in and out of my life, and I held a lot of resentment towards him. And I always just wanted to be daddy's little girl. And
yeah.
I got that chance because of his addiction. And like, that forgiveness palette, and like, I don't know, like, the forgiveness of self is a big one, you know, because I've had to do a lot of work on that. Because like, before I can forgive anybody else, I have to learn to forgive myself and the stuff that I did in my act, not only active addiction, but my life in general.
Yeah.
And like, I guess I'm trying to like figure out the way to go. And like, I kept going back to, so like, I'm a survivor of sex trafficking.
Wow. Amen.
That's where my addiction took me. And like, I remember trying to get recovery multiple times in my life, starting at 19 and then 20 something and then 20 later 20s. And like, the one resentment that I held on to was that situation. Like, I could forgive everything else that happened in my childhood and the abuse. But that one situation, I couldn't. And it's a group of people that I will never see again in my life. I don't live in that area anymore. I don't run in them circles anymore. Thank God.
Yes.
But it's like, how do I forgive a group of people that took me at my weakest, saw a profit margin, and decided to use not only me but other people in that light and profit off of it? And it all started with me. Like, I had to learn to forgive myself, to being put in that process, to being allowing myself to be in a situation that I was vulnerable enough to be there. And it wasn't easy.
Yeah,
you know.
Of course.
I mean, I'm 33 now, and I started that process at 19, and I've used since then, and I wasn't doing the work on myself to reach the benefits, to reap what I sowed. And what I got was a lot of resentment and a lot of hate and a lot of, I need to shove this down and not talk about it. And when I was 30, I relapsed for hopefully the last time, and I overdosed, and I was in a friend of mine's bathroom, and thankfully she called the ambulance, and they brought me back with Narcan. And I remember waking up And my first thought was like, if God, if my higher power didn't take me in that instance, I need to do some serious work. And I started working with a sponsor. I am part of 12-step recovery. So there's 12 steps. There's two steps, the eighth and the ninth step. And the eighth step is we write amends to all people that we had harmed. And the ninth step is we became willing to make amends to them all.
Yeah.
I left myself out. I didn't put myself on that list. And my sponsor was like, you can't do this list without forgiving yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And it took a long time and a long process and a lot of conversations. And I was like, I remember talking to her and we worked through the process of like learning to forgive myself, about putting myself in the situations that allowed me to be vulnerable enough for someone to take that kind of advantage of me. And I remember I was like, all right, so like we started that process. When can I start my amends list? Like, when can I get to my mom from like stealing money from my mom? Or when can I get to the person where I stole broke into their house and stole jewelry or TV? Like, when can I get to the amends that I think really need to happen? And she said, you have one more amends that you need to make, and it's to the people that trafficked you. And I was like, I don't owe them nothing.
That's powerful.
But she's like, you do. You learn to forgive yourself, but now you have to pray for them and you have to forgive them because they're in the same situation as you. And I like, once she put it to me that simplistically, because I was a very selfish, self-centered person. And like, I didn't understand that they were in so much pain, just like myself. Mm-hmm. And that they might still be, you know? And that was a lot of nights of crying. And like, I remember she told me to pray for them for 30 days. And my first prayer was like, forget them. I'm not paying for them. I hope they get exactly what they want. And that's to be under the prison and in a box. I hope someone guts them like a fish. Like, very hateful prayers.
But that's real.
But it was real. That's how I felt. And then I remember like halfway through the process, I was like, I remember this one guy in the process, he would always sneak me extra ice. Because I was 75 pounds. I was very malnourished. And he always made sure that like I had a piece of bread or like made sure I had something to drink. And like, I remember I would say that hateful prayer and I would be like, except for him, I hope he's doing better.
Wow. I hope
he has found salvation. I hope he's back with his family or creating a family. Like, I hope he's doing okay. And like, I felt this weight almost jump off of me.
Wow.
It was honestly like, it was almost physical. Like it felt like a brick was on my chest. And then finally that one brick was taken off and I could breathe.
Yeah.
Easier.
Yeah.
It was mind-blowing. And it was like every day I could find one thing positive about each person in that group that I remembered, because I don't remember them all. But I could, the ones that I did remember, I could find one thing positive. And I'd be like, you know what? He made sure that I had clean clothes. Like, I hope he has clean clothes on today. I hope he's doing better. I hope he has a full belly and like he's doing okay. And like the next one would be like, I had holes in my shoes. And this guy, I mean, they were hand-me-down shoes. They were probably from his girlfriend, shoes that she didn't want anymore, but they didn't have holes in them. And like, he gave me a pair of shoes and I'm like, man, like, I hope he has the freshest Jordans on right now. And it was something so simplistic, but it was like, once I started praying those honest prayers that were gut-wrenching and like true, and then I could find the positive of a negative situation, it was like, who am I to not forgive them?
Yeah, I like
that. I'm about to ask forgiveness from all these people that I had harmed, and I'm expecting them to forgive me. How can I not forgive those who have harmed me too, that were in my situation?
and it's been challenging.
Yeah.
Eye-opening. It's been uplifting.
Yeah.
I can now look back and like help other women through that kind of situation and like laugh about it today. And that's where I kind of realizing like the power of forgiveness wasn't always for them, but it was so like I can talk about a situation and make light out of it and like laugh again.
Yeah.
I no longer sit up crying about the trauma that happened. I'm able to help other men and women.
Yeah.
That have gone through and been like, this is my experience.
Yeah.
And like, it's been rewarding because like a lot of times forgiveness isn't for others, it's for ourselves.
I agree. That's powerful. Like that's powerful. Like a couple things came to mind. One, when you spoke about how when your sponsor said you had to pray for those who hurt you, it brought the verse up. It was Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. It says, "But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and on the unjust." That's Matthew, verse 45 also. That's an embodiment. You prayed for those who really used you, really, for the freshest Jordans, to make sure that that person is saved when the person that gave you food. Like that blew my mind. Like seriously, to hear that, like, You hear about people who like, he's stolen from me, it's all good. But for those who trafficked you, like that, if, oh my gosh, if my face is that literal emoji, if you're mind blown, like that's exactly what my face would look like right now. Because that's powerful. Another thing, I didn't even know that in elementary school. I really didn't know that. You know what I mean? And honestly, wow. And I've said this before in the beginning, so you've overcome so much, and I'm just glad to see you here. Mm-hmm. Really, I'm really just glad to see you here. For real. Like, just for real.
Happy I was one of the fortunate, you know? For yeah. Everyone that's saved, there's someone else's daughter or son out there.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's my purpose, is like, I was brought back to life and I was saved for a reason. And like, part of my reasoning is to help someone else's child find the light.
Yeah.
Whatever that path is.
Yeah.
Because some people find religion, some people find recovery, some people find exercise.
Yes.
So many different pathways. And, that I feel like that's my purpose in life. Like it's not to, I work and I'm a mom and I'm a student and like I'm in recovery and I'm all these things, and that
yeah.
gives me purpose. But my true purpose in life is to help the ones that don't even know they need the help yet.
Yo, that's powerful. That's powerful, for real. I want to ask, what was the process like for forgiving yourself? What was that like?
Terrible. It was a lot of, and like, I would be lying to you if I said I still wasn't in that process. Because I can go weeks and be like, I got this. Like, I'm not that I'm perfect, but I am better than I was yesterday. And I'm definitely better than I was 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And then they will come and I'll be like, I'm worthless. I'm nothing but that girl in the corner trying to score one more, and I'm playing a role. And like, those are the days that like, I call my sponsor or I call somebody in this process that's with me. And I'm like, look, like, I know this deep down in my spirit that I'm not like this, but this is how I feel.
Yeah.
And like, thank God I got like an army behind me.
Yes.
I've built an amazing army, and like I fully believe that there were people praying me into the rooms before I knew I needed the rooms that I could call today to just be like, this is how I feel. And they're like, girl, you just got a certificate in XYZ. Like, what are you talking about? Or you just did this, this, and this. And like, that's great. And like, but I don't feel like that today. One thing that really helps me in the process still today is manifesting it. Like, I'll write something on my mirror that I look at every day. And it's like, this, I pick different ones. This month is, I am beautiful within. Cause like, it doesn't matter what I look like on the outside, but how do I feel on the inside? And like, that's been a part of my forgiveness process, is like not thinking I'm worthy and not thinking I'm good enough, and like having to learn like I am. So my process has been terrible. It's been gut wrenching. It's been a lot of like changing my mindset of stop being so critical on myself. But a lot of it is like relearning of like, let me look at this notebook piece of paper on my bathroom mirror when I'm brushing my teeth that says I'm beautiful within. And like, if I see it long enough, I'm going to start thinking it. And then once I start thinking it long enough, I'm going to start believing it. And then I'm going to start walking in it. And like my very first note on my mirror was, I'm worthy of forgiveness. Like, because that's the mindset I was in during that. So like, once I started seeing that constantly every day and like started saying it to myself, and then I started thinking it when I was in the grocery store, at the gas station, or in a meeting, and then I started like believing in it, it got easier to move on to something else because I was forced to see it. And it's kind of like, it takes 28 days to create a habit. So like, if I put it up there for a minimum of 28 days, I'm going to start believing that. And then I'm going to start on that process of true forgiveness of self.
Yeah. I'm just sitting here. You honestly was talking about me, about how a couple of days you can feel on top of the world, and a couple of days just like, yeah, I'm worthless.
Yeah.
And honestly, that's beautiful. And I love that. Say, you said, I am worthy of forgiveness. That is, oh my gosh. If I was in church, I would have ran around on that point right there. I am worthy of forgiveness. That's something I want. For those listening, I want you, if you are in the car at a red light, I want you to look at yourself in the rear view before the light turned green and say, I'm worthy of forgiveness. If you're working out, I'm worthy of forgiveness. If you're at your job, worthy of forgiveness, with your spouse, your child, family, I don't care where you are. You need to say it until you believe it, because you are. No matter what people say about you, no matter what, you are. You are listening to two people who are living examples of that.
Amen.
For real, for real. And oh my words God.
Powerful, man. Words can be powerful.
Absolutely like right.
What's that old saying that they used to, the pen is sharper than the knife.
The pen's mightier than the sword.
Yes, the pen's mightier than the sword.
That is true. And the crazy part is, I literally just thought about that. You just say that. Words live with us forever. It really has. Because think about it. We have books that have been written thousands of years ago. They're still here. They're still referenced. And it blows my mind. I really thought about it.
Yeah,
that really is. Oh my gosh.
If you think about it, like, I could stab myself and still live with that wound. But like, if I take take a tattoo gun and I tattoo the words on my arm, you know what I mean? It can cover that scar.
Yeah.
I have plenty of scars on my body that I chose to cover with artwork. Because that pin is so, it's forever.
Yeah.
Scar can be healed.
Absolutely. And another thing it brought to mind was, it says in Proverbs 18 verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So your words, our words, can either bring life or death to others and ourselves. Yes. So honestly, you speaking life early is like, I'm worthy of forgiveness. You're speaking life. You're worthy of forgiveness every day for 28 days. Like, that's powerful. Like, that's powerful.
There's been studies on it. Like, even to like take a house plant, take two house plants and put one in one room and one on the other, and like belittle the one and up talk the other.
Yeah, I remember that study. Yeah.
It's true. Like, I can tell a house plant that it's nothing. It will never grow. It will never weep flowers. It might as well just wither up and die, and then go in the next room and say, you're so beautiful. I can't wait to see you bud. And like, you bring life and air into my life. And the one that I'm speaking politely to and kind words to flourishes. And the plant that I'm speaking down to turns brown. And we are plants. We're basically a house plant that can get up and walk around and talk to people and get to live life. So like, if it's that powerful to a plant, how powerful are words to us?
Facts. Oh my gosh. That's a sermon. that's a sermon. It really is. You know, whether you know it or not, that was a sermon to me. So I'm just going to take all of that. When you prayed for your traffickers, right? Like, what was going through your mind at that point? What was going through your mind at that point?
When I first started praying for them, I was like, this is stupid. It's not gonna work. Like, yeah. I can't believe she suggested this. I can't believe she's having me do this. But my first thought is normally wrong. Right? So like, once I got over the initial, this is stupid, I can't believe I'm having to do this, it was kind of like, I'm trying to think of the, because like, it's in my brain, it's kind of like, okay, this is stupid, but she has 7 years in recovery. And I have 7 months. So obviously she's doing something right. And if I want to do something like someone else, if I went to college, right, and I wanted to be an accountant, I wouldn't take English classes.
No.
I would take math classes, right? So if I wanted to be clean for multiple years, if I wanted to be in recovery for multiple years, like this woman was that I looked up to, she didn't come to me and say, let me help you. I went to her and said, can you help me? So if I wanted what she had in that peace and serenity, I had to do as she did. And if she's telling me to do something at the end of the day, I'm going to do it, even if I think it's stupid. And like, the longer the process went on, the easier it went. And like, what I realized was I was praying for them and I was in the process of forgiving them. But in that process, I was also learning to forgive myself.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like a catch 22. Like, it was very selfless, but selfish at the same time. And I didn't even realize it.
Yeah.
And still, it was done. And like, still today, I mean, that was 3 years ago. And some nights I still drop to my knees and I pray for them. Three years later, because like, something will happen and like, they'll cross my mind. And I'm a firm believer that if it crosses my mind and it's a person, it's because I'm supposed to pray for them. So like, today, if I think about that certain situation or like that one person in the room that gave me shoes or water or like whatever that looks like, God wants me to pray for them.
Yeah. And like,
I will still drop to my knees today and pray for those people. And sometimes it's for them and sometimes it's for me.
Yeah. Okay. I like that. I definitely like that. And I'm in agreement. That happened to me, just praying, just like, this person's been on my mind. Let me pray for them. Let me just check on them, see how they're doing. So yeah, I agree with that. What was it like for you, writing the amends?
Man, I went through a period of not wanting to leave my house. Because so it's I made a list of all persons I had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all is the first part, step 8. And I had pages and I was like, I'm the worst person. If I leave my bedroom, I'm going to harm everyone I can't come in contact with.
Wow.
It was a process of like, I'm the worst person in the world. I've hurt all of these people. How am I going to make amends to them all?
Yeah.
Like I had, it was a long list of years.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a really good friend of mine came to the house and knocked on the door and was like, I haven't seen you in a meeting in a week. And I was like, I'm not going to that meeting because then I'm going to harm somebody. Like, look at this. And I remember him saying, shut up. Am I allowed to say that?
That's fine.
Okay. he said some other stuff, but basically it was just be quiet, shut up. You need to get out of this room or you're going to hurt yourself.
Yeah.
And that showed me I could still live with that. And then the process of amends, what's crazy is like, I thought I had to do them all real quick. And what I have found is like some of those people, so the step says I became willing to make amends to them all, except when to do so would injure them or others. Sometimes I'm the others, right? Mm. Okay. I shouldn't go back to that house where I know that group of guys are to try to make the amends with them because that might hurt me.
Yeah.
So then I had to learn the difference between like, there's the financial amends that I'm constantly making to my mom, right? But then there's the living amends of like, I just don't do that today.
Yeah.
Because I don't do that and hurt that person, I'm making a living amends to a group of people. And learning that process. Cause like I'm that person, like I'm a meat and potatoes person. Like I want to get in there and I want to talk to you. I want you to know that like I'm doing better and like, please forgive me. So I feel better about myself.
Yeah.
And that's not okay. Sometimes it's great. Sometimes it's golden. I've come back into contact with a lot of childhood friendships that I thought that I had burned the bridge and a lot of family members I thought I would never speak to again. And then other times I have to realize when a situation will just crumble me and it
yeah. might
back into the person I was.
Yeah, honestly, you sounded like me and I don't appreciate you telling my business out there like that. I don't appreciate it, but you know, it's necessary, you know, because I need to hear it. But I'm honestly, I'm right there with you. Like, for real, I am right there with you on that. Just, oh my gosh. Yeesh. That's amazing. So, again, I just want to say kudos to you because you've done so much. And I'm very honest. I'm very proud of you. I really am. Just to see you just overcome so much.
I mean, look, we started together, bro. You right there with me.
Started from, like Dre said, started from the bottom. Now we here. And like, for real, just, oh my gosh. So, good gracious. It, just listening to this is just an amazing, this whole thing has just been an amazing story with just everything. Just, I love it. I'm be honest with you. So here's a question.
Okay.
What does forgiveness mean to you?
Oh. I mean, I could Google it and look it up. You know what I mean? And give you the true definition of forgiveness. And like, that does mean something. You know what I mean? Like the true definition. But forgiveness to me just means I'm not carrying the burden of someone else. And I'm not carrying the burden of something that I might have done. It's not allowing myself to be weighed down by mistakes that might have been made and allowing me to continue to live and be a better person tomorrow.
That's beautiful. I love that. I really love that one. I love that one. What do you wish that you learned earlier in your journey to forgiveness?
You said, what is something that I wish I would have learned earlier?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
Mm.
Nothing. I think everything, I'm a big person today about not living in my own will, but living in God's will.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think if I were to go back to the beginning of my journey and change something, I wouldn't be where I am today. I think everything played out to the best that it could. And like, I'm not God, nor do I want to be, because that's a heavy job.
Facts.
So I don't think God would have held my hand during the troubled times if it wasn't going to be sweet afterwards. And I think he played out to better than I could have ever made it. I'm not Shakespeare. I'm not a playwright. I'm not an author. I'm not the director. I'm just a main character in my life.
Yeah.
And I'm just supposed to play my role as best I can.
I feel you on that one. What do you wish to impart to the people listening?
You are worthy of forgiveness. If that's the one thing that you can take from our conversation today, write it down. Look at it. Even if you don't believe it the first 20 times you say it, the 21st time might be the one that clicks.
Yeah.
So you're worthy of it, even if you don't believe it. Just keep doing the next right thing, and the next right thing will happen to you.
Great. I love that. I love that. Melissa, this was an amazing conversation. Like, seriously, like, all these gems you drop in, all the diamonds you drop in, mind-blowing stuff. It's, thank you, for real. Just thank you for just doing this. So the floor is yours. Anything you want to promote, social media, what you're doing, where people can find you, the floor is yours.
Yeah, I mean, I'm open to talk to anyone about anything. My name's Melissa Forsyth. I'm friends on Facebook. My son had something to say. if anyone out there is struggling with substance abuse or alcoholism, I'm down to talk to anyone about anything at any place. I'm blessed with the fact that I get to work with a company today that helps people in early recovery with housing. It's called Oxford House. If you want to learn more, we're on YouTube. We have it's 60 Minutes did a video on us. It's only 10 minutes. It's not 60. So you can learn more there. We're all over the world. We have houses in Ghana, Australia, Europe. We have 3,000 houses in the United States. We literally have one in almost every single state, if not multiple. And if you want more information, please find me. I will talk to you about different detoxes, about helping a family member if that's what you need. I just like to talk and be there for people now.
That's amazing. And for those who didn't catch that, I'm put that in the show notes, because I want y'all to connect with her, because like I said, I've seen her growth. It's just been nothing short of amazing. And I'm just going to say it now. I'm just waiting for a book to come out. That's just me. I'm just putting it out there. But really, thank you for doing this. I appreciate you.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate you. I'm so happy we got to connect on different levels.
Facts. Facts.
Wasn't that an amazing episode? Oh, that was good. I told you my jaw was on the floor, and I wouldn't be surprised if yours was too. I want to thank you, Melissa, for coming on and being open and honest with your story. We appreciate you. I also want to thank everybody who has been listening to us. We appreciate you. And we ask that you leave a 5-star written review on iTunes. It helps the podcast get more reach. We appreciate you. I know that there are times where we don't have the strength to forgive those who have hurt us, to do what it takes in this episode, and more. We can only do these things with the power of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins to be forgiven in the past, present, and future. And he rose from the grave to give us eternal life, a relationship with God himself, power over sin, and power of the enemy. If you want Jesus Christ in your life, just pray this. Dear Lord, thank you for dying for my sins and my wrongdoings in the past, present, and future. I confess and believe that you died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. I give my life to you, Lord. Please come to my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. If you pray that prayer, I want to say welcome to the family. This is the best decision you could ever make in your life. Now that you've made this decision, get in a good Bible-teaching church who preaches the gospel and message of Jesus Christ. You can look on Google, social media, and ask family and friends for recommendations. Also, there may have been some things said in this episode that may have triggered some bad memories and bad feelings. If this is the case, please seek a licensed therapist to talk them out. You can go through your healthcare provider, Google, or ask family and friends who receive therapy for recommendations.